Amos chapter 5, verses 1 to 17. I focused in on verse 15 this morning. I want to bring out the application that Amos does with it, a very sobering application of it, but one that we need to hear. Amos chapter 5, verses 1 to 17. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even in lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth. Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth through the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor and the gate from the right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets. And they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. May God help us again to understand his word better. You may be seated. In beginning this message from Amos chapter 5, having reached verses 16 and 17, although the previous two verses cannot be ignored, as I will show. Because why do I say this? Why do I say that you cannot ignore the verses I looked at in the morning message? Well, dare I ask you, as I've asked you many times, what is the first word of verse 16? What's the first word of verse 16? It is that biblically ubiquitous word, therefore. What is this therefore? Therefore. But even before I answer this question, I have to say that what a blessing it would be if this therefore was not there for what it's there for, because of what it introduces and shows. Now, if you remember, I have called my series of messages on this prophet Amos, the unknown God of Amos. And verses 16 and 17 simply show this truth again, because how many, even in the church, want to face the reason for why this, therefore, is where it is? But to introduce the sobering meaning of this ubiquitous biblical word, therefore, which is an often repeated biblical word, I did a quick search using the Bible software that I thank God for, and I found out that this word, therefore, is used 1,237 times in the King James Version. 1,237 times in the King James Version. Brethren, the fact that the Lord uses this word so many times in His written word, the Holy Bible, should show you something. What should it show you? That when you are reading or hearing the Bible preached on, you should be thinking. You should be thinking about what you are reading and hearing. Therefore, Amos is drawing a conclusion from what he has written in the previous two verses. Now, as I will show, it's a sobering conclusion in light of what he writes following this, therefore, but it is there nonetheless. But to introduce this sobering meaning of this particular therefore, I want to ask you a question, as I often do. Have you ever given advice to someone else? Have you ever given advice to someone else? Advice that you can see as good advice, which has solid biblical support. Now, I'm not referring to the advice like that of the young friends of Rehoboam, the advice that they gave to him is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 12, when Jeroboam came to Rehoboam asking how he was going to treat the people of Israel. Rehoboam said, "Well, come back in a few days because I want to get some counsel concerning how I'm going to respond or react to you." Now, I'm not disputing that the counsel that Rehoboam went with from his friends rather than the elders who had stood before his father Solomon was ordained of God for holy and righteous reasons. But did Rehoboam expect any different response? Just reading 1 Kings 12, verses 13 to 16. "And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old man's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, 'My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions.' Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, 'What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David.' So Israel departed unto their tents." I mean, you can see God is sovereign over this, but was Rehoboam brain dead? I mean, "Oh, you had a tough time under my father Solomon. I'm just going to make it worse for you." Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So when I ask you, have you ever given good advice to someone, I'm not referring to how Rehoboam responded to Jeroboam in the sovereignty of God, but counsel that you can honestly say has solid biblical support. I'm giving them this counsel out of my concern for them, only to have that counsel rejected. Only to have that counsel ridiculed. Only to have that godly counsel or biblical counsel you've given to that other person, even to have that other person get angry at you. Now, if that person has rejected wise counsel, as in the case of Rehoboam, what is the only result? Sobering negative results. Not easy or pleasant ones. And yet, sinners doubt they are depraved. Sinners doubt that they're proud and rebellious. But all you need to do is look around you in the world you were saved out of, believer. All you need to do is look around you. It is a living testimony to this truth. Why do I say this? Because apart from the saving, redeeming, illuminating, and guiding grace and mercy of God, the last thing that proud sinner man wants to hear and believe and act on is the solid biblically correct and repeated counsel of God through His Word as to what is best for him, regardless of who he is. Friends, what's the absolute best for anyone? The absolute best. Regardless of who they are. I don't care if they're rich. I don't care if they're poor. I don't care if they're male. I don't care if they're female. I don't care what their ethnicity is. What's the greatest blessing? Regardless of who that person is. Well, what is the counsel of God to all mankind? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is the greatest blessing, for men to be seeking the Lord, to be forsaking the evil way, and to be returning unto the Lord. There's no greater counsel in the Word of God to seek the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him alone. But how many are doing the exact opposite? I'm not going to ask for examples, but how many are doing the exact opposite, seeking wicked and evil things? Rather than the good that God declares through Amos that all mankind should be seeking, and not the exact opposite. Because how many even want to hear, even in the churches, what the Lord, through his prophet Amos, not only told the nation of Israel, but because it is a part of God's authoritative and sufficient written word, the Holy Bible, this is God's counsel to all mankind. This is God's counsel to all mankind until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. What is the counsel of God to 21st century man? Through his unknown prophet Amos, verses 14 and 15. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. But how many in America are actually doing this? How many in America are actually desiring to do this God-ordained counsel? And how many in Israel, when Amos first gave this counsel from Almighty God to the people of Israel, actually were doing this and desiring to do this and praising and thanking God for his God-glorifying and soul-blessing counsel of seeking the good and forsaking the evil? How many? How many in Israel? Not many, if any. Not many, if any. What right do I have to say that? Well, what is the first word of verse 16? It is that word, therefore. And what is it therefore? God is going to declare through Amos what is going to happen because his counsel to them was not being applied and believed. Brethren, you cannot reject the counsel of Almighty God to you and expect to be blessed. The exact opposite is the case. How does Isaiah declare this truth in Isaiah 57:21? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. To the evil man who chooses evil ways rather than good ways. And yet man, in the depravity of their fallen reasoning, rather than seeing the increasing difficulties that this entire world is facing, because of his not listening to and applying the counsel of God. What he does, this is how man in sin is so depraved and so wicked, and so his thinking has been so warped by sin. Why do I say this? Let's be honest. Is this world filled with problems? Increasing problems, difficult problems. We could be on the brink of World War III. Yet man in his sin-warped mind twists these problems and uses them in his warped and foolish justification for denying any number of things that are true about the living, true, and only God. I'll give you just three examples of what I mean. First, God's sovereignty. How can you believe in a sovereign God in light of what man is facing in the world today? because he is facing it due to his rejection of the clear counsel of God to him in his word. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. But man steadfastly and persistently rejects and rebels against this good and correct counsel of God. So what should you not be surprised at in God's sovereignty? The very things that follow the therefore in verse 16. From the hands of the sovereign God, truth I will return to. Yet man in his sin-warped thinking uses God's display of the folly of not listening to him, not only as a reason to deny his sovereignty, but second, to deny his very existence. Because how many foolish, blind, lost sinners use the presence of all the calamities in the world? Haven't you ever heard that? How can you believe in God because of all the evil in the world, because of all the calamities in the world? Have you ever heard that excuse? Men in their warped sin say, well, the presence of all the calamities in the world is justification for me rejecting the very existence of God. How can you believe in the existence of God in light of the increasing number of earthquakes in the world? Friends, it sounds like it would be a very uncomfortable time to be living in Puerto Rico right now. Puerto Rico is shaking all the time. And the wildfires in Australia killing who knows how many animals. Friends, if God doesn't exist and earthquakes and wildfires are increasing, you and I are in one sobering condition. Because all the legislation in the world is not going to stop the ground from shaking if God wants to shake it to remind us of the folly of not listening to him. Friends, it is the atheist who has a greater problem with the calamities he sees all around him, not the believer in the biblical God, because the believer in the biblical God knows there is a reason for these things. Men rejecting and rebelling against their need to listen to and follow what God is saying to him through not only his prophet Amos, but his final prophet, his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, would the world be wondering? Would the world be wondering and even worrying how close we could be to World War III? If the words of the final prophet from God, the Lord Jesus Christ, were read, believed, and personally applied by those in governmental power in the world today? You know the answer. You ridicule and reject the truth that the living, true, and only God of the Bible exists, and thus reject his sound, godly counsel. Seek good and not evil that ye may live. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. And what is the only thing that flows from this denial of his very existence? What follows the therefore of verse 16? From the hands of the God who is God from everlasting to everlasting, truth I will return to. Yet man, in his sin-warped thinking, uses God's display of the folly of not listening to him not only as a reason to deny his sovereignty, not only as a reason to deny his very existence, but third, to deny his eternal and everlasting goodness. Again, how can you believe in a good God in light of all the calamities man is facing in 2020? Well, he wouldn't be facing all the calamities and problems he is facing as this new year is now over a week old if he was listening to and applying the counsel of the living, true, and only God. Seek good and not evil that you may live. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gates. Friends, you know what the psychopaths in power in the world are doing? Not listening to the counsel of God. Not listening to the counsel of God to hate the evil and love the good, but they are continuing to be creators of evil things. Evil things that I think would have astonished the Apostle Paul, who was infallibly guided by the Holy Spirit to give this as one of the characteristics of men given over to a reprobate mind. A mind not listening to or applying the counsel of God to seek good and not evil, hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. And I can only be illustrative, not exhaustive, in showing this. For brethren, what have the reprobate evil minds of men, rejecting the counsel of God to hate the evil and love the good, what have those reprobate evil minds in positions of political and military power developed? And what are they continuing to develop? Have you ever heard of nuclear weapons? I mean, is creating nuclear weapons, is that an example of seeking good for your fellow man? I think not. Not only nuclear weapons that cannot be stopped, but friends, psychopaths in the military are creating killer robots that can be programmed to kill whomever the reprobate sinner controlling this evil invention from hell chooses to kill. Seek the good, not the evil. And yet countries have their multi-million dollar, even trillion dollar budgets to create evil things. Hate the evil and love the good. They do the exact opposite, as seen in the evil men creating their evil things that do nothing but kill people and destroy things. Things that they have developed, continue to develop, and will use if pushed. So friends, what's the only thing that such God counsel rejecting sinners can expect to reap? What follows the therefore of verse 16. Friends, the current calamities and problems that mankind is facing in the year 2020 are not an evidence of God not being sovereign. Perish the thought. They are not an evidence or an example of God not existing. Perish the thought. They are not an example of the absence of the everlasting good God. Perish the thought. They are all the direct result of man en masse not following the things that God tells them to follow and following the things that God tells them not to follow. God gave good and godly counsel to the people of Israel through Amos in verses 14 and 15, but they rejected it. How do I know this? How do you know this? Because of what follows the therefore of verse 16. Because what follows the therefore of verse 16 would not be there if the godly counsel of God was being applied. You see, sinner man can reject. Sinner man can ridicule the 21st century practicality and application of the Word of God written to 21st century man. All he wants in his rebellion and folly. But there's one thing he cannot prevent unless he repents and believes the saving gospel of Christ. He cannot prevent the sobering consequences of that rebellion and rejection. Verse 16, therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, and in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Why did the Lord pass through Israel in the sobering ways described in these two verses? The counsel of God given to Israel through Amos was not being listened to or applied, but the exact opposite. Because friends, what did the leadership of Israel want Amos to do? What did the leadership of Israel want Amos to do? Oh, keep preaching it to us, Amos. We need to hear this. We need to bring our government and our leadership into conformity with the truth of the word of God. That's not what they did, friends. What did they do? They told Amos to get out of Israel. Stop preaching. Get out of Israel and stop preaching the truth. Brethren, how many? How many in Washington? How many in Moscow? How many in Beijing want to hear the truth of the Word of God correctly opened up and applied to them? How many willing lackeys in the countless countries these cities are the capitals of will bow to the commands of their wicked leaders of these countries rather than to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because as I've said before, it's not the chain of command that's the problem, it's the chain of obedience. Choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will obey. When the apostles were told by the religious leaders to stop preaching the gospel, what did they say? We must obey God rather than man. How many are willing to bow to the commands of their wicked leaders of the countries they are in rather than the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? And what does the Lord say, friends? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Friends, what lies ahead for America and the compromised church in America? Not only because the words of God to mankind through Amos are not believed or applied, but the words of God to those who profess to be disciples of Christ as given as what is known as the Sermon on the Mount are not believed and applied by those who claim to be disciples of Christ. Because how many in the churches in America want to face the truth that the problems in America and the problems in the world are tied to the number who profess to be disciples of Christ in America and in the world, but do not believe that the teachings of Jesus to his disciples in his Sermon on the Mount are applicable to 21st century believers or need to be applied in 21st century America and the world? But are relegated to some future millennial kingdom. Friends, the last thing you should be surprised at is the trials and problems that America and the world are facing today. For how many in America and in the world honestly believe that the teachings of Jesus have application to 21st century man and show they do by seeking his enabling grace to believe them, understand them, and correctly apply them. Think of it. Think of it from this perspective. Would this world be on the brink of World War III, the nuclear Armageddon, if every professing believer in Christ sought to relate to others as taught by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? How you relate to others does not save you, but it is a powerful testimony to having been saved out of the default position of every unsaved person, a person at enmity with God and his counsel and his in his word and hateful and hating his fellow man. You see, as I said this morning, unsaved sinner man mocks and rejects the historical Garden of Eden and the historical fall of the first man Adam and the first woman Eve. But they show they're right there. They're right there with Adam and Eve listening to the devil. Hath God really said, seek good and not evil that ye may live? Hath God really said, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate? Yes, he has. But did Adam and Eve believe the counsel of God not to eat from the tree of good and evil? You know the result, because you're living in the world that is a result of their rejecting the counsel of God not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is man listening to the counsel of God through his unknown prophet Amos and his final prophet Jesus? Look around you. And the only answer, sadly, is no. For if all men, without exception, were listening to, believing, and personally applying the counsel of God to them through His beloved Son, the last thing you would have is the present world you have been saved out of, believer. Sin has so warped the thinking of sinner man that he actually thinks that he's justified in rejecting the sovereignty of God, that he's justified in rejecting the existence of God, and that he's justified in rejecting the goodness of God by the things he's experiencing and seeing, rather than seeing that these things are a direct consequence of thinking that he doesn't need to listen to, believe, or apply what God's word tells him. If you confess Christ here this afternoon, I want to ask you something, believer. Believer, do you want to be a blessing and benefit to this real world you are temporarily living in? Then I say to you, live and breathe the counsel of the only one you should be listening to, confessing, and following, the Lord Jesus Christ. For who knows what blessings this world of Word of God rejecting men has cut itself off from by not willingly bowing to the teachings of God's final prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, believer, what blessings are stored up for you because of your perfect Savior's perfect obedience to all that was written for him and about him in the Word of God? What's laid up for you, believer, because of that perfect obedience of all that was written about the Savior of the world in His Word? What's laid up for you? The new heavens and the new earth. The new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness will dwell, where nothing evil will be present, only the everlasting display of the goodness and the glory of God. Seeking to follow the counsel of God to sinners in this world cannot save a sinner who knows that he has rejected the counsel of God in his life in too many ways to count. But it is a way to show that you're a saved sinner. A sinner saved to see that the reason mankind is facing ever-increasing problems is because the truth of the Word of God continues to be ridiculed, rejected, and rebelled against. And so is your desire to be a saved, God-glorifying sinner. Then you will honestly pray this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, by thy grace and for thy glory and the good of my fellow man and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to be known as a believer, listening to and applying the counsel of God in my redeemed life, so that the therefore of my redeemed life is one reflecting the one who saved his people from all their sins, including the sin of not wanting to listen to him and personally apply what he says. The world is facing all the problems it's facing, friends, because it's not listening to the Lord today. And this world is reaping some bitter fruit because of it. I simply want to ask you one thing, and I'm done. Are you listening to him? Let us pray. O Lord our God, man's problems all began when they listened to the devil and not to you. And who knows how many are still showing that the devil has their ear and not the Lord of glory. And if you have our ears here this afternoon, Lord, it's not because we are any smarter or wiser than anyone else in the face of this earth. It is because you have had amazing grace upon us and delivered us from our bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and shown us that there's only one worthy to listen to, and that is your Son. There is only one worthy to bow our knees to, and that is your Son. Give us of that grace that we might be those who can say to the world, and the world can see, there is a man, there is a woman who is following, believing on, and confessing King Jesus. May that be the testimony of our life by your grace. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.